So we're going to have the Ruchnius before the Gashmius. I'd like to just say a short Dvar Torah, and then we have a Kavod Gadol today that Rav Moshe Tendler, Rita, is with us, and he's the Rosh Hashiva, who's been Rosh Hashiva here for how many years? A few years. Ken Yerbu.
Said my first year in...
His first year was in
1940.
So that was before some of us were born. Maybe before some of our parents were born. Yeah. It's a big, you know, people don't understand the history of Yiddishkeit in America and the history of Gedolei Yisrael and Rabbi Tendler. Besides being an Adam Gadol that he is, both in Torah and in science, and he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a tremendous Baal Chesed, and it's a tremendous chus, and he's also going to share with us some memories of his late father-in-law, the great Gaoner of Moshe Feinstein, who is the Posek Hador in America, throughout the world. So I'd like to begin with a short Dvar Torah, and then we'll hear words of from Rav Tendler, and then hopefully by then the Lakis will come, and we'll have that as well. The Torah tells us in Parshas Miketz that Paro was so impressed with Yosef's ability to decipher the dreams. So Vayan Yosef is Paro Leimar Biladai. It's not me. Elokim Yaneh Shlom Paro. And Rashi points out, Ein HaChochma Mishali. The Chochma is not mine. It's Elokim. And then Paro says to Yosef, Vayom Paro Yosef Chare Adi Elokim Oschatz Cholzos Einovon V'Chocham Kamocha. And in the Sefer Bios HaBoker, who's one of the big Gedolim, from the Talmud of the Maram Shik, right, of the Rav Shaul Brach, it says, on page 4, Chare Odi Elohim Oscha Einovon V'Chocham Kamocha Yeshlomer B'Yisrael Rak Zehu Chocham Mishem Mashpil Atzmo. In other words, a midah in Klal Yisrael is the midah of Anova. Moshe Rabbeinu shalokam kamoso hida torak dosha. That Moshe Rabbeinu, who we say is the greatest Novi, is the greatest person, the Torah gives him one accolade, that he was Anov mikol Adam. That Moshe Rabbeinu's humility. So says the Rav Shaul Brach, when it says, in novam v'chacham kamocha, that's what he's referring back to. Alze, his pale paro she Yosef she yachochem godol hishpil atzmo v'omar biladai she'em b'kocho klum rak elokim yane shlom paro. In other words, he sees the chachma of Yosef, not just the chachma, but the anivus was the chachma. That was the chachma that he was referring to, and that's what he writes also in. Pshat in the Tefillah, on page 6, the Yos Boker writes, Makochenu halol kol hagiborim ka'ayin lefanecha. Yeshlomo achidush nimtza b'chochme Yisrael, mashalo nimtza b'chol chachme umos. He says, the chachma of Talmidei Chachamim that you don't necessarily find in other avenues is the humility. Shekol ol shemosifim hasaga b'taraseinu akdosha, heim Yosef shvolim b'einei atzmam. That the greater they are, the more anivus they have in the true Talmud Chacham. For Amru Tachlis Hayidia Hi Shalom Leida Sheba Liyidia Zu Sheyefsha La'amor Al Omka. And that's what he says, Lo Mi Brubchem. And that's what he says, we say in the davening, She'anu Chachomim Kibulibada Unvonim Kibulihaskel. That's Kochenu, that we don't flaunt. We're like Chachamim Mivlimada. We say we're not so great. It's like Yosef said, Biladai, Elokim Yana es Shlom Paro. And we know we're going to read in the eighth day of the Chanukah from Parshas Bahaloscha. We're going to read Bahaloscha Saneros, Al Mulpanei HaMenorah Yerushalayim. So the famous Chazal says, Vayas Kein Aaron. Aaron did, and Rashi says on page 9, Vayaskein Aaron, L'hagit shvacho shal Aaron shaloshina. And everyone is bothered, what does that mean, shaloshina? What does it mean, shaloshina? Of course he's not going to do differently than Hashem commanded him. So, in the Sefer Ava Shalom of a Menachem Mendel of Kosovo, of page 13, he writes, that he says, that there's some people that they're righteous people, but they look different than everyone else. In other words, everything they do, he gives an example of somebody who was the shamus in the shul, and he was putting the oil in the menorah, and he was shuckling so much so all the oil spilt, you know, like he was had tzidkus, but he looked different than everyone. He looked weird. Shvacho Shel Aaron was that he was on such a high madrega in his kavana But externally, he looked like everyone else. Shaloshina. He was no different than anyone else. It was externally. He didn't try to flaunt. He wanted to look the same as everyone else. And that's the Mida of Anova. You have greatness, but we don't flaunt the greatness. Miosi says, Beladai, Elohim Yaneh. And that's what Paro says, that's the Einovon V'chacham Kamocha, says the Biosa Bocher. And we know there's a famous pasuk in Malachi, on page 15, he say, Kohen Yishmu Das, the Torah Vivakshu V'piyu Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokosu. And we know the famous Chazal in the Gemara Chagiga on page 16, Maidichsiv Kisif Se Kohen Yishmu Das, the Torah Vivakshu V'piyu, Im Dom Beharav L'Malach Hashem Tzvokos, Yivakshu Torah V'piyu, V'lav Al Yivakshu Torah V'piyu. So what is this Mida? If the Rebbe is like a Malach, you could learn Torah from him. If the Rebbe is not a Malach, so what is this Mida of a Rebbe being a Malach? And the Sefer B'Yosef Boker points out from the Ovos de Reb Nosson, on page 17, it says the Ovos de Reb Nosson, B'nayin she'ireim ze et ze u'mechabdim ze et ze. That the Malachim feared each other. They had respect for each other. Shebeshasha poschim es piem va'omrim shir ze omer chaver psachata shata godol mimeni. That each malach would say to the other malach, "You sing shir first because you're greater than me." In other words, each one wasn't saying, "I'm greater than the next." Each one was saying, "You're greater than me." Lo kiderch shebedei odem osim. Next page 18 on the top. Sheze omer chaveru ani godol mimeka. So that. That's the Mida of the Malachim. The Korel Zel Zevi Omar. That each one respects the other. And that's what the B'Yosef Boker writes on page 19. That the Dimyon of the Malach is what the Ovos the Reb Nosson says. That Zel Mer Lachaveir Atah Godol. But Zel Domer Rav Lamach Sh'omel Chaveir Atah Godol Mimeni. That he doesn't view himself as greater. He respects. And that's the Mida of the Malachim. That's the Mida of the Malachim. And that's, you know, the Sefer B'Yosef Boker points out that the menorah represents different things. The Neros are looking at each other. Each one is listening to what the other person had to say. And the ones on this side are pointed towards that side. And that's the Mida of being normal. In other words, not flaunting. In other words, Loshina means he looks like everyone else. He looks like everyone. This person looks like everyone else, and that's the Mida. And we've been saying every day, Mizmor Shir Chanukos Habayis David, Ar Memcha Hashem Ki Dilisoni. And the B'Yosef Boker points out, Dilisoni Loshon Dal. He's a shofel. But Madle is when you take a bucket and you take it from the well and you dole. And the person who's dal, the person who has the midah of anava, is the one who's always going to be able to take the bucket and bring out the chachma, bring out the water, bring out the chachma. And that's the midah of Amir Hashem Kidilisani. And that's the Musar Haskel of the Chanukah is the yontif of Torah Shebal Peh. It's the yontif of being kona Torah Shebal Peh. Then the Chazal tell us Torah is the person that's onav hushval ruach, and that we learn from Yosef. He says, Biladai, he could have said, you know, I'm right, I'm the greatest, but he said, no, Elohim, all the chachma is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And knowing now Rav Tendler Shlita and his father-in-law represent these midas of chesed, anava, geonus, but all together, and I'd now like to call upon Harav Moshe Tendler Shlita to share with us some Divrei Torah, and it's a tremendous chus, you know, to have Rav Tendler as a world-renowned Talmud Chacham, a world-renowned scientist, and he's a person who walks on the street. It looks like everyone else, but he's a person who is from very chashuv a Talmud Chacham, and we should have this chus that we're here today to hear Divrei Torah and Divrei Zichronos from Rav Tendler.
Amen.
It's coming.
And when before we begin, I also like to make knowledge of my wife and the Rebbetzin and Avram Simcha and Mrs. Chaya Gordin. She comes every year. She was a librarian here in the library from what year? 1960, not exactly 1940, but 1960 is also pretty good. And she was, she's the one. If you ever open up a sefer and you'll see in English the name, the title of the sefer with the author, that's her handwriting. That's her handwriting.
The Hebrew catalog.
And she's been here, and she helped me, you know, all these packets that we have. Yeah. You know, Chaya was the one who got me the Sfarim all the years.
They didn't have a Hebrew typewriter.
They still have that Hebrew typewriter now.
They still have the Hebrew typewriter, yeah. Even though we're in a different generation. But we're and it's part of a big schuss to have. And Rabbi Moster is here as well, who's also an alumnus of the Shir, and he always likes to come. So and Rabbi Goldstein just walked in, and he comes to the Chumash Shir every week. So and every single fellow in the Shir who's here is very chashuv to us, and even some of the Smicha guys are here now, and it's a big schus to be here. And and Rav Tendler is going to speak, and then the latkes are coming. So don't worry, the latkes are coming. But let's hear first the ruchnius and then the gashmius.
Let me share with you a medlash relevant to this chag of the Menorah. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to make a menorah. I'm reading from the Medrash Rabbah, beginning of Baal Oscha. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe V'osisa Menorah Zohav Tohor. Amalo, Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Ketzed Nasel, how do we do it? Amalo Miksho Teyosa Menorah. Make it from one block of gold. Don't make pieces and weld them together. You start off, beat into the shape of the menorah. Afal pikein niskashe Moshe v'yorad v'shochach maaseha. Came down back on earth, didn't remember how to do it. Oh, Omar Riboni. Kesa Nasosa. Amalo, Kodesh Baruch Hu answered him, make sure to yourself, my Lord. Afa Pekain, Niskashe Moshe, Beyorad, Beshochach. Oh, Omar Riboni, Shochachti Osa. Herelo, Le Moshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu showed something, some kind of figure, put it together. The old discussion bar. Amalo ve vase. Even went so far as not al menorah shaleish vehero lo asiyosa. We apart became discussion Moshe. Four times, Kodesh Baruch Hu told him how to do it, and he couldn't do it. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu had to master kol haTorah kula. It didn't only mean what the Balkori reads. It means what the Pasuk says and means. Right? All of Hilchos Shechita, all of Dinim have to do with agriculture. So all that is necessary, as we'll see, in order to understand the Torah. That was no problem for Moshe Rabbeinu. Here he couldn't understand how to take a hammer and beat out a menorah. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lecheitzu Betzalel Vuhu Yaseh Oso. Amal LeBetzalel Miyad Oso. So I had no problems. Okay. What's Pshat in such a Medrash? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't as smart as Betzalel. This you have to understand. something on this week's Seder. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, all you people, if you follow the Daf Yomi, it's a wonderful Daf Yomi in Soto. Worry when someone speaks before you, maybe he decided to say what you were going to say. So that's always worried me. I was more worried that the latkes would come first and then no one would pay attention. Moran Sota and Aflamet Vov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bishor Sheomar Paro LeYosef, Ubilodecho LoYorim Ishes Yodo Eschaglo. Omro Isagnune Paro, the officers of Paro said, you're going to make him a Sheni Lamelech. Eved Shelokho Rabo Biesem Kesed, Tamshilei Romai. How they deserve to become a king? He's a slave. We took him out of prison. We bought him for 20 shekel. Amalahu, so Paro answered, Ginune Malchus Anirobo. I see he has qualities to be a king. Omolo imkein, ye yodea b'shivim loshon. One of the requirements to be king is to know all 70 languages, like l'havdil ben tumah l'tara, like our Sanhedrin. Bo Gavriel v'lomdo. So Kodesh Baruch Hu sent down Gavriel to teach him. V'lo have kogomar. And Yosef couldn't understand. Didn't succeed. Hosaflo Osachas Bishmo. Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Gabriel added a letter to Yosef's name. Then Belomad, he was able to learn all the language. Shenema, and we say it in the Shir Shal Yom of Yom HaChamishi, Eidus B'Yosef, Somo B'Tseiso Aleres Mitzrayim, Sfas Lo Yodati Eshmo. Language I couldn't understand, I can understand. So he changed his name from Yosef to Yehosef. This is the message of today. Why couldn't Moshe understand how to make the menorah? I didn't understand. Where did Moshe live and where did Bezalel live? Moshe lived in the court palace. Grew up in this amoral society that was Egypt. Bezalel was being hunted by the officers of Paro when he was born in order to kill him, to throw him into the river. As the Midrashim tell us, so the women went out into the woods and had their babies in the woods, and Malachim took care of them. When Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe, make me a menorah, mixture from one block of gold, and in the block of gold will be what? What will happen with that block of gold? That will represent the menorah, as we'll see in a minute, which was accepted by all the Chachmei Yisrael. The seven Chochmos, this epitomology of knowledge, a largely Greek. They put it together that way, but so it was accepted. And you can divide up all of human knowledge into seven units. Each unit was represented by one candle on the menorah. B'nei Lem Tsoi, the middle one, which wasn't an addition to the menorah, but the central stem, that represented Torah. Let me read to you how the Netziv in Hamidovo, how he explains it. Elmul Pnei Amanora Yiva Shiva Saneros, there. Elmul Nerhem Tsoi, Sheino Bekanem Elabeguf Hamanora, Yiru Shiva Saneros. Listen to this line. Yishum Shatora Shabalpe, Nichlal Sheva Chochmos, Shebeli Yidio Bechola Chochmos, Yevshalovo Lakama Ikri Torah. Kamo, he mentions Shiuli Klayim in Uksin, Kiddush HaChodesh, and we have to add all of Melech HaShabbos and Kashrus and Nidah and Mikvos, etc. All dependent on knowledge which isn't in the Torah. That's because it's attached to the Torah. V'chal HaChochmos Bo L'Shimush U'Lebayer Ezoros HaTorah Shebiksav. Hainu Shehizir HaKodesh Boruch Hu She'imirin Kol HaChochmos Lefnei HaMenorah Shu Neged Ikur HaTorah. Kach Masa HaMenorah Hoye Miksha Achas L'Lamdeinu She'Kol HaChochmos Mimoko HaTorah Chotzobah. Moshe couldn't accept that. Moshe grew up in Egypt and learned whatever the chokhmos was in Egypt. That's going to match up to the chokhmos HaTorah. That was influenced by the chokhmos HaTorah. Nonsense. Therefore, what was the difficulty he had? The difficulty was mixture. How do you make it from one piece? Everything should, how to make the menorah. How to teach the menorah. How the menorah should influence Am Yisrael. But Salal had no trouble. But Saul grew up in the forest, never knew anything about Egypt and the culture of the court, etc. Therefore, he called the Saul, make the menorah, no problem. Immediately, also, he was able to make the menorah. The Gaon, I would like to quote because it's an interesting quote from Rav Baruch Mishklov, the great Talmud of the Gaon. He says, "Shemati mipi kodosh, kvi shmar sheyechzal laodom yidius misharei chachmos, lumoze yechzal lo meyo yodos bechachmos haTorah, ki haTorah vachachmos nitzmodem yachad." That's what the menorah represents. What is the challenge for every ben Torah today? We have a problem. You can't pass on a shayla without knowing the other chochmos. The trouble is, the other chochmos, as they've been presented to us, are not worthy to be studied. They come from an amoral society. It's like immoral, there are no moral values anymore. The Kuzari, the Yudah Levi asked the rabbi, "Who is your God?" And he said, "The God who took me out of Mitzrayim." So the king said to him, "What kind of stupid answer is that? Why didn't you say the God who made the heaven and the earth?" To which the rabbi answered, "I don't know that God. I know the God who took me out of Mitzrayim. That's my Yedius Hashem, that I know." Yeah. Ask today anyone, "Who is your God?" And if he's honest, he'll answer, "The one that I see in the mirror." Because the God of the world today became autonomy. Whatever I want is God. Whatever, there is no sin, there is no mitzvah, there's no moral or amoral. No. We are a unique breed. We represent Kodesh Boch's dream from humanity. Our problem is the challenge to make sure that all the chokhmos are looking to the central chokhmah, not attachments to it, but the Guf HaMenorah is the central one which represents Torah. And Torah's kolelet contains all the chokhmos in it. If that is a goal to be achieved there, I think you can understand why we have one enemy. Enemy is time. We live on the stress of time. But Kadosh Baruch Hu expected us to do. Kadosh Baruch Hu expected there to be able to make the menorah of Miksha Achas. It's doable. Unfortunately, not enough of our people are doing it. But we represent what's the goal that Kodesh Baruch Hu set established for this world, right? To be able to build a menorah representing all the great chokhmos that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants and needs in his world. And we are the ones that represent the kindling of the menorah. We light it, no one else wants to light it. So if you stop and think a little bit, start worrying about finals are coming up, right? And your enemy is time triage, right? How will you do it? Will you come to shiur? Maybe only twice a week, maybe three times a week. You take off a day, so you have to realize there's so much to be accomplished. Yeah. My shvel zatzal, there. Give you an idea. When he was presented with the shaila of brain death, how you determine death, I brought him the shaila. It was necessary because I was then involved in kidney transplant research. Yeah. And the people in Albert Einstein were leaders in the field. I brought to him in his house every head of department of Albert Einstein's medical school. One of them, the head of nephrology, slept over twice in his house because he hadn't finished discussion. It took him 2 years before he passed the shaila. No one knows that background. But he asked a shaila, he had an answer on the telephone, no problem. That's because he never went to yeshiva college. He had to start from the beginning on many topics, but he started from the beginning. I would come with him, open up a biology book, and show, these are the pictures, this is what we do, this, you know. In the course of time, he became a very expert in many, many areas. Yeah. But there was no shortcut. It had to be done that way. Give you some insights into who he was. By the way, in the eighth chelik of Igros Moshe, which was edited by my son-in-law of Shapsa Rappaport, one of the gedolim of Eretz Yisrael today, head of the Bar Ilan Kollel, there. In there, we decided to put in a lot of biography about my shvel. It's worth reading. Very nice stories, etc. The beginning of Chelek Ches, the Hagdoma, is a very long Hagdoma. It's really a history of the Feinstein family. Yeah. I'll add some things which are not mentioned there either. Yeah. First of all, shvel coming to America. I went with my wife, Zichron Lebroche, I went to Luban to see where his town was. I went to Luban and to Kamenitz, where my father, Zatzal, grew up. My father was born in Kamenitz, and he was a Kamenitz Rav on the Lower East Side there. But he never went to Kamenitz Yeshiva, to Rabor Leibovich. He didn't go because that was not the style then. The style was you have to go away from your house to yeshiva, otherwise you come home for lunch, and that was no good. So he went to Radin. And my contact here with yeshiva was largely because Rav Belkin Zatzal was a Radiner. He studied in Radin, and my father studied in Radin, which made us blood brothers. Yeah, that was my entree here in yeshiva. By the way, I came to yeshiva, I was bar mitzvah here in the yeshiva, I went to the high school. I started off at Yankov Yosef yeshiva, then my father asked me to change over to this yeshiva, because there was one Rosh Yeshiva here, and he wanted me to learn with him. That's a Rav Moshe Palayev Zatzal. If you know the name? Yeah. Rav Palayev had a derech in learning. I stayed with Rav Palayev for 3 years. Then I studied with Dr. Belkin, then sang a shiur for 1 year. Then he became president. And I stayed with the Rav Zatzal for 7 years. I only had three Rabbim here in Yeshiva, Rav Halev, and Rav Elkin, and the Rav. And I did not go to the college here because, quote, the good boys didn't go to Yeshiva College. The good boys stayed in Bismillah till 6 o'clock and we went to night school. So my Chaverim, the whole Chaverim came from Yankel Joseph Yeshiva, Yankel Rabinowitz Zatzal, who was here, dean of Isaac Royer for many years and so on. He was the only one that ended up back in college. He began here teaching chemistry. It's from your time, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, comment on my shvel coming to America. We went to Luban, we went to visit his shul, and on the shul there's a sign, the last rabbi of Russia, Moshe Feinstein. Why the last rabbi of Russia? When the communists took over, they ordered the rabbis to give up their rabbanus. Only one rabbi didn't do so. That's my shvel. So they took away his shul. It's, when I was there, it was a water testing lab. Right? They took away his home. He had two children. He had three children. Right? The fourth one, Reuven, was born here in America. He had three children. The shamus in the shul had a home with one bedroom. He put up a curtain, and my shver, Rebbeson, with three children, lived on one side, and the shamus on the other side with two children. But he wouldn't give in. He wouldn't renounce his rabbanus. Yeah. And then something happened. One Pesach night, they were at the Seder, and two people walked in, officials of the communist government, who were former yeshiva students. And they told them that there's a special session in the school, all the children must come. They took them away from the Seder into the school, and the session involved eating a piece of black bread. Period. They gave them a piece of black bread, they ate the black bread, they sent them back home. When that happened, my shvel said he has to leave to Russia. That's when we had already been working here, not I, but his family, because he had a brother-in-law, the Rebbe's brother, of Nechemia Katz Zatzal, who came to America earlier and was Rav in Toledo, Ohio. And there Senator Taft put a bill in Congress, and he came out on a visa to a bill in Congress. Okay. A little bit of the fundamental history. I'll give you a few little insights. Here we are. Give up,
we're gonna get out the last one, we'll continue. And we'll continue.
I'm talking so while you're eating, be moitz to me, and then I'll catch up to you. Oh, that's American stuff. We're the latkes.
Behind. Okay, give it the latkes.
And make sure. Make
a plate
for
a family. So yeah, make a plate for a family. Put the latkes on the table.
Yeah.
Okay. Baby.
Do you want something to drink?
Hmm?
Do you want something espresso or something to drink?
We have something
here. Yes,
white.
Yeah, that's later. 12.
Yeah.
That's not going to start on time either.
Then we have to show ourselves.
Yeah.
Hey, what's it called? Do you want some soda?
Is there a tumbler?
Yeah,
that's a tumbler.
Thank you.
Should we take a 5-minute break?
Yeah.
Here, Rebosa, we're going to do now is we're going to take a 5-minute 5-6 minute break to eat. Yeah, and then Rabbi Tendler will, will continue speaking. Michael, should I shut it off? Yeah. Well, Michael. How should I do it? I want to save it.
Already?
No, so what should I do?
Story that's not well known. Yeah, I'll give them personal comments to it. I don't know how many people know the name Rav Gustman Zatzal. Rav Gustman was the youngest member of Chaim Moshe's Bezdin in Vilna. He came to America and opened up a yeshiva and was uniquely unsuccessful. He couldn't get any talmidim. So he went off to Israel. He opened up a yeshiva in Israel and had instant success. Became very well respected there. In the course of years, came friendly with my Shreya Zatzal. Unfortunately, his wife came down with intestinal cancer, and they had to come back to America to do surgery at Mount Sinai Hospital. And my Shreya called me one day and said that Rav Gustman and his wife are here in the hospital. Maybe I can stop in, because he doesn't speak any English, and see what's happening. In those days, I lived down in Washington Heights. It wasn't too far. The hospital is 100th Street. It's 180. In the weeks that he was in the hospital, I must have visited there most likely once or twice every week. There, coming quickly and check with the nurses and so on. I'm sitting at the bedside one evening, and Rav Gustman said, "Let me tell you a story. My Shreya Zatzal had a battle with Rav Abramsky Zatzal, who was well recognized posek already in Europe, on the issue of a woman who underwent a surgery." In those days, no antibiotics. That's called a mastoidectomy. Infection of the ear, they had to go in surgically. In the process, they made an access to the brain. So forever after, she couldn't get any water in her ear. This was a woman of 23 years old, married, can't go to mikveh. They came to Rav Abramsky. He said, "Sorry, he should divorce her. There's nothing you can do." Came to my shver, and it's a published shuva. If you ever saw it inside, published shuva. He said you can plug the ear with cotton, right? And if you go in the mikveh, you go in there a few seconds. There, in that period of time, the water will not penetrate the cotton. Now, Lomsky responded, "But it's chasitza, you can't do it." Asher wrote a short shuva then, as I'm quoting Rav Gustman, it said, so you know a little bit about the sugya, it's a chasitza in Beis HaStorim, where you don't need bias mayim, you need royul bias mayim. And if she would stay in the mikveh long enough, the water would seep through, and therefore it's okay. No. My shver had no reputation then, except local reputation. Okay. So they brought the shaila to Rav Chaim Moshe in Vilna. I'm quoting now Rav Gusman. Gusman said, Rabbi Chaim Oizer said, I also wrote a tshuva. But after seeing both tshuvas of Abramsky and the Shrels, his tshuva isn't worth comparing, therefore he hid his tshuva. But what to do about the machlokas, he says, it's very simple. Because it says Reb Moshe and Reb Mordechai, that's Reb Moshe's brother. Mam Shver Zatzal used to say, often in the house, there was one Feinstein who knew how to learn. That was my brother Mordechai. He says, Reb Mordechai and the Shver, Reb Moshe studied with Reb Chaim Oizer, studied with Ezra HaSofer. If you study with Ezra HaSofer, how can you argue with their tshuvas? I'm sitting there with Rav Gusman. I say, and of course he's laughing already, knowing I'm asking, what can you possibly mean? He studied with Ezra HaSofer. He said very simply, he says, take a look at the tshuvas. He says, Rav Abramsky wrote a tshuva, there isn't one rishon, one achon that he did not mention in the tshuva. And my shver mentioned the Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. How can you argue with such a tshuva? That was the shver's style, by the way. Go back to pshat in the Gemara. And that's why my father, Zatzal, wanted me to learn with Rav Pelev. That was Rav Pelev's derech. The Gemara has to tell you everything you have to know. Then Agavuchi, you can see it in other svarim as well. But you have to pick it up from the Gemara itself. Be a little bit of an insight in my trails. His social manners. One Friday, I get a call from my shver, tomorrow, maybe we can find time to go visit Rav Shaskis Zatzal. Rav Moshe Shaskis had just come from Europe and moved in on this and Henry Street.
Street that was a Rosh Hashiva here at NYU.
Moshe Shaskis was a member of the government, the parliament, whatever it was, there in Europe, there. And he spoke many languages, including he spoke English very well. Mother Maishrael spoke English also. And Asidu Haget, Maishrael spoke English to the husband. Make sure he understands. Right. He says that Rav Shaskis, not many people know who he is there. So my Shrel's idea of a wonderful time on Shabbos is to take a walk on the East River Drive. That was the big yichis, right? So after dinner, after the suda, I lived 3 blocks further on Henry Street from my Shrel. I lived 287 Henry. He was 10 or two, something there. So we went. Rav Shaskis was not expecting us. He was pleased to see us. So we went out. And then on the Lower East Side, almost all the stores were Jewish stores. Now, of course, all have only Spanish signs, completely Spanish and black. But in my time, it was Italian and Jewish there. So the store right next to, on the same block, was a meat store, a kosher meat store, and had on it there, Bosser Kosher Meat Market. And we're walking down, and I'm quoting Rav Shaskis. It's just too good a story not to tell you. Rav Shaskis looks up, he says, oh, Bosser Kosher Miat. meat market, M-E-A-T. And he spoke English. Just about to miss that one. That's not reported any place. What I want to emphasize is Ashrael was very busy on Shabbos because he had to finish to be Mavar the Sedlin. He did that on Shabbos. He didn't usually the whole Sedra on Shabbos. He also did the Daf Yomi, not every day, only on Shabbos. Daf Yomi did all seven Daf. Nevertheless, he took time off to go walk with the Rav Shatskis, just to show what Derech Eretz really means. Things that have not been reported. Things that have been reported should not be believed. So much stuff has been written that's embarrassing. For example, published already is, Ashrei used to walk from his house to the yeshiva at Tver Shavayim, like 6-7 blocks there. And on the way, there were several candy stores, as we call them, and they had a newsstand outside. So Ashrei would pass the newsstand, so the papers, so the book reports that Moshe, that he would divert his eyes so as not to see the newspaper. What's the reality? He would eat lunch in the yeshiva, and the boys would vie for the schus of running out and buying him the newspaper, and he would sit there and read the newspaper from cover to cover every single day. But that didn't bother anybody who wanted to write a book and wanted to refashion the Moshe in his image, what he thinks he should be. So we have that he doesn't look at the newspaper. Okay. The point in his concept of Derech Eretz. I was with him under the chuppah. He was Masada Kedushin. They honored me with a broches. I went up with him. He was then already a zokei. As he's standing under the chuppah, a photographer goes over to him and turns him. Didn't like the angle. So the people, they said, ooh, ooh, ooh. Immediately said, he's right. It's my fault. I should have been careful where I was standing. Das ist sein Chiyune. This is his livelihood. He says, you have to respect, that's his job. That should be a little bit of an insight in his personality. Just pick up a few, I scribble a whole bunch of little things while coming up here, what would be good there. Here's something that I had the schus to see it myself. My shvel gave Kabbalah on Shchita, not on the halachas, only on Bedika Sakin, for the umnus Shechti. There was a shochet on the Lower East Side in the Delancey Street Market, the Bosher shochet, a 6.5-foot giant there, tremendous Talmud Chacham. You had to go to the Bosher to get first Kabbalah on the Shechita, and then the Shver would sign the Kabbalah if you passed his test on the Sakin. My Shver sat all day in his office, in the study, and he always had a glass of tea. Shrel drank tea all day. And when the shochet came in, handing his chalif, Shrel would take the knife. I've been present 10, 15 times on these kabbalas. My Shrel would tell me when people are coming in there because I was interested in doing a lot of things, mila, shchita, etc. Never functioned professionally. Mila, I did all my own children, but never went into the business. My shver would take the knife and touch it to his glass, not look at the knife, look at the chalav at all, and hand it back to the shochet goer. He says, it cannot be. If metal touches glass, it has to make a pagina. So the shochet goes out and then into the dining room there, in Shvelz on the second floor there, and there were two shochtim coming in for Kabbalah there. So the shochet goes into there, comes back, he says, no, it's no problem. The knife is fine. Checks the knife. Right away, shows him, oh, here's the pagim. So the shochet said, oh, I'm sorry, but a fire engine passed by, just said, which was true there, and therefore it must have diverted my attention. So Shrel said to him, if you were Bodhi Kasakin, you shouldn't have heard the fire engine. Yeah, sent him out, you come back again later. Come back in a few weeks, so we'll talk again. The second shochet there came in, it went there at the same time, like 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, the second shochet comes in, the same incident. And takes a knife, touches to the glass, guy comes in, the fellow comes back, there's no pagima. Shrel takes a knife, might as well shows him, here's a pagima. So the shochet began to cry. Shrel said to him, if you're crying, I'll eat from your shechita. This should be an insight in his personality. First one, he heard a fire engine. No. You didn't miss. You missed it. Of course, you missed it. So that's why. That's why you come. So he sent him out. You come back. Come back a few weeks later and check him again. There's many other little things here, but I'm watching the clock also.
Okay, Rabbi, we thank Rabbi Tendler so much. So we're gonna make a bracha achrona. We'll sing one nigun bracha achrona a little rikud, and then those who want to go to lunch in the gym. There's a SOI lunch in the gym. So those who would like to go, so it'll be starting soon. Don't dig in. His brother. Did anybody eat an hour of donut? Want to make an hour mechia? Anyone? Did anyone eat a donut? A donut.
Somebody eat a donut. Did somebody already eat it?
To make an alamichia. No? Yeah.
Don't do it by heart.
Okay, we'll have one short record and then we'll.
So, this is a Chanukiah, but not a. This is a Chanukiah, but not the menorah with the middle chan, right? What?
Lubavitch.
Oh, Lubavitch, okay.
It's from Lubavitch.
Right, sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.